Eddie.
Hey, Eddie.
Hello, Michael.
Oh, can you hear me all right?
Yep, can you hear me?
I can. We're waiting for a med to tie in. I ran downstairs to grab a biscuit and talk for a second, so head back up now. I'll try not to talk and eat at the same time.
Hey, are you recording this one?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Recording's in process, and what I'll probably do after I tie these things down so you can listen to them, I'll go back and edit them to cut so that the beginning and the end are immediately before and immediately after the actual call.
Right, okay, good.
Because for the most of these, I'm starting the call, you know, about 5 minutes early. Plug my phone in here.
This guy's resume looks pretty good.
I'm going to shot an email about 15 minutes ago to his Hotmail address, just to remind him. I'm going to go ahead and shoot him another one. Both addresses, he's got a Hotmail and a Gmail. Let him know the call is live. Insert the call-in information again. Oh, what plans do y'all have for Easter?
I'm not sure what Marty wants to do.
I understand that sentiment.
That's more virtualization. Why would he be interested in a project like this? Do you explain it to him?
Yeah, we talked briefly. Let me look at what I sent him.
Okay, tell me a minute. Let's not eat at the recording.
What's that?
Oh, nothing. I'm just trying to still read his resume.
Yeah. Yeah, we discussed the role briefly, and I sent him the overview of the project. And he responded and said, yeah, this is a good fit for me. Please put me in for this opportunity. I do not want to miss out on this one. was a sound check. Heather kicked over a box. All right, 6:36. I got an acceptance email from him back yesterday at 6:38 p.m. So if he doesn't tie in a minute, what we can do is I will break loose and give him a call. Heather was a little upset earlier today. I think I may have mentioned we've got catfish in the pond out here. And one of the pastimes is she likes to go sit out on the end of the dock and throw dog food in right at the end of the dock, and the catfish come to the surface, and Sierra will feed them out of her hand and stuff like that. Well, her sister's boyfriend came over and went out there, and she was showing him, and he got all excited and ran back to his truck and got his fishing pole and got out there and caught two or three of the catfish.
Got a typo in the very first part of his thing. Not a
server hard. You're a little low on the volume side.
Yeah, sorry, I'm leaning over my other monitor trying to read here. He's got a typo. He's saying hardening or harding. It should be server hardening project.
Well, I'm sure he'll be appreciative to have that pointed out. Resume is one of those things that you want to make sure you've got everything correct on, you know?
Also, knowing the company I work for, he's advertising that he's a VMC professional.
EMC?
VCP.
Oh, okay,
but
okay.
It's completing soon. So, technically, he's not supposed to be advertising that.
You want me to go ahead and call him directly and remind him of the call?
Yeah, I'll hang on here for a minute.
When I break off, it may. Well, no, I can do an ad call.
It won't, yeah.
What's that?
It shouldn't kill us.
Yeah, I'll try that. If it does kill us, I'll dial it back up. All right, I'm going to call him right now. Be right back. Michael.
Hey,
man. Hey, Eddie, you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I talked to Ahmed. He should be dialing in shortly, unless he dialed in while I was absent, because when I terminated my call from him, it kicked me. Is he here?
Yeah, you're the only one I've heard join in.
Okay. I believe the issue may have been, and I didn't get specific clear clarity on it, but I believe the issue may have been he's in Arizona, and they deal with standard time and daylight time on two different fronts, I believe, so there may have been a confusion there.
Been high fever very long.
What's that?
Most of his real experiences happened since 2006. Actually, since 2007. A year and a half contract with Inside Global.
Yeah, I noticed that. I wonder if there is an issue from time to time tying into the call. You said you ran into that once or twice, right?
Yeah. Let's see if we can reschedule this, Michael.
All right. What do you want to set it for?
Sometime Monday.
Let me see what I got here. An 11:45, a 12:30, a 6:45. Well, here it comes.
Ahmed Hassan.
Hello, Ahmed.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, this is Michael. We've got Eddie on the line. Eddie, this is Ahmed Hassan. Ahmed, this is Eddie.
Hey, Eddie, how's it going?
Pretty good, Ahmed. How about you?
Doing okay.
Right.
I don't know about where you are, but here it's 90 degrees outside.
It's actually kind of cool and pouring down rain.
Wow.
Where are you?
Okay.
You're in Arizona?
Yes, I am.
Mesa, yeah. My oldest son was born in Yuma. Spent some time down in Yuma.
Oh, in that case, you know about the summers. They're interesting.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm close to where it looks like you spent some time. I'm in Ohio right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
North of Cincinnati. Yeah. It looks like you're in Cleveland and all.
Well, I was in Cleveland. I was in... where was I? Greensboro. I was in, I was all over Ohio. Also, you have to remember, I was a part of Sonic Automotive. And back then, Sonic, it was a Citrix shop, you know what I mean? And anytime they would buy or encompass a new dealership, I would go in and do what they refer to as the changeover, you know, which was wow. So I was all over Ohio, Cleveland, Columbus, Toledo, everywhere.
I'm sorry, you broke up during the last part. What'd you say?
I said I was pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, well, let's get started really quick. Looking through your resume, it looks like you've got a lot of VMware experience and virtualization type experience in Citrix.
Yes.
Have you done much many migration exercises?
I just actually got off of a. Yeah, I just came from a migrate. Global Payments was weird. I don't know if you would call it a migration, because what they were actually doing was closing down data centers, you know. And most of the migration, so to speak, was on the server level, whereas I would do the captures, capture the image of the targets, and then move over to whichever siloed host that they were going to. Harden the box according to PCI standards, and then later on it went to SOX, but initially it was just PCI, not CIS, just PCI.
Did you just do P to V? Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, I was doing P to Vs, and then later on we did V to Vs. After the application owner had the image. And it went into a silo, and then like all of its dependencies, which means all the other servers that it that particular application did the majority of its communications with, that were hosted on the data center floor or remote, whichever. And after that little test, now remember, now we were not able to utilize the lab manager at all, you know. And we couldn't use Recon. And so what we ended up doing was using PlateSpin, which is absolutely the best P2V product
you
on the market,
what?
By the way. PlateSpin.
You're fading out a little bit, Ahmad? What did you say you were using instead? Oh, PlateSpin.
No, we ended up using PlateSpin because it was just a better product and for what we needed to do. You know what I mean? Everybody who is a VMware god or guru would say, "Oh no, but we can." Wrong answer, dude. PlateSpin, especially for all of those remote captures, and we're talking about application owners with literally servers under their desks, you know. And I'm doing all of this over the wire, so you know. Anyway, that was. That was the last migration I was on.
Let me ask you this here. On the migration side, you would take a server, you'd PDV it, you'd move it over. Whenever you did that, were you changing domains or are you keeping everything the same?
Oh, no. Everything had to change. But initially everything remained the same because it was in a silo. And then after we got it, we got the image. It was okay. It's very, very precise and drawn out. So after we did the P2V, and then we placed it in a silo, the application owner would look at it and say, okay, that's exactly what it's supposed to be. Now it's time to harden and change it. And as soon as the hardening project started, you know, automatically, you know, we would. Shut it off with all of its dependencies. We would actually make the change, and then we would do a B2B, and then this would go to another silo. And then once that right there happened, the application owner would usually come in and say, "Okay, I need access to this. I need SMP, simple management protocol."
So what were you hardening on there?
We were hardening the OSs.
Okay, but they were still staying a part of the same domain.
Correct. Initially,
okay.
You know, initially,
right.
and then eventually,
all that was a manual process. And so you PDV it, you'd silo it. The app owner would give you a thumbs up. You move forward. You'd begin the hardening after you do a VDV of it, and you take a look at these, and you're hardening the OS. You move forward.
Correct.
At what point does the domain name change?
It changed. Okay, like after the second hardening, And at that point, everything would change, and then we would do another B2B, but only this particular time. And at this particular time, we changed everything. We changed the SID. We changed everything. You know what I mean? And then and now this little puppy is ready for production. So the application owner. Now remember, now this particular silo is more like a lab silo, okay? Because now it is actually communicating with other partners. I mean, with you know, with the other actual servers, is, you know, like whichever environment that we need to have it communicate with. And so
it's participating in the main function to that point.
Correct. Absolutely. Now remember, I don't know. Do you ever use DRS?
Use what?
DRS. VMware DRS.
I'm only here. I only heard part of what you said.
Okay, VMware DRS.
Oh, DRS. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, that right. Okay, like after the last part. Okay, now vMotion. The only reason why we didn't use it was because of the fact that DRS would give us a better image. You know what I mean? And so, like, we actually made copies, you know, for our backups, you know, for DRS. And then one of those copies that we made, or one of those snapshots, was actually the server that was going to be the final product that was actually going to be for production. And that was how they wanted it done. Yes, I had my it's a good way to say it. I would have done something different, but that's what they did.
That's okay. So basically, it sounds like that particular project was a migration, but it was a migration from the lab to production once it got into production. So everything was a manual process going across, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, sounds good.
They would not allow us to do. They would not allow us to do. They would not allow us to do automatic anything. You know, nothing. You know, their environment.
Oh, wow.
They wanted. Yeah, I mean nothing. Nothing. As I said, we couldn't even use Recon, dude. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But you don't understand when you say wow. When we first stepped in, when the CI, I forgot his exact title, but he did not want blades on his data center floor. And when we came in, we brought the blades with us. We brought the virtualization environment with us. We built it from scratch via phone communications and a lot of dragging. That was kind of strange to me, because I had never actually been on a data center floor that did not have blades. Now, but here's the cool part. When they did come in, they didn't go with, like, everyone else. Well, like, let's, you know, let's use the HPPP class, you know, a generation old. No, they use brand new C's, you know. So when they did spend, they spent well.
Okay, gotcha. All right, let's move on a little bit here. So it looks like a lot of your experience really is either with VMware or virtualization or stuff. This project doesn't have much to do with that, but it does look like you got a little bit. I mean, that knowledge certainly is not going to hurt, be harmful whatsoever. So let me explain to you a little bit about the project really fast. It's an Active Directory migration going from one force to three total. Migrating from one to two, leaving a subset of them behind. In addition to that, we're doing Exchange migrations, which is being handled by another work stream. So we need somebody that knows how to troubleshoot migration-related issues. Probably a large portion of that what you would already be exposed to from the VLANs, the VLAN trunkings, the DNS issues from that side.
Correct.
So let me ask you a quick question. How would you, if we're migrating a workstation that's four buildings away, and we're doing it with a subset of tools, the tools are irrelevant at this point, and somebody looks at you and says, look here, I believe there's a DNS issue on that client, what would you do? If you went out there and looked at the machine, what would you look at?
I mean, after I pinged it?
Yep.
Immediately after I ping it, first things first, I would look at what DNS it. I would look at subnet it's on, and then after looking at what subnet it's on, I would look for its preferred and secondary DNS resolution servers, and then configure.
It's a DHCP client. How would you find that information?
If it's a DHCP client, that's easy. I still have the ability to tell it where to look first. I still have the ability to tell it what IP address to hit first.
Right, so absolutely. But what I mean is, if the workstation's out there and you're going out there to check on it because you can't ping it remotely, you log into the workstation. How do you tell what is preferred or secondary DNS servers are?
I look at the TCP/IP configuration on the box.
Yeah, but how? Through the GUI?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can do it through the GUI, but that would take a little bit longer. I would rather go ahead and do it the old-fashioned way. Do it through a command line. Like if I was to go to net show, and if I was to do a netstat, that right there was going to tell me about all the network configuration. Or if I was to do an NS lookup, NS lookup usually tells me everything I want to know. What else?
Well, actually, I think you're getting probably a little too deep. It'd just be the IP config. You know, that points you, that tells you which the DNS servers are. NSLookup will allow you to verify that records, A records and point of records exist, and that's only if there's a point of record for the DNS server that you're targeting with the NSLookup command. NetShow would be great if you're using RRAS or anything like that. NetSat is going to be more of the protocol type things. But, yes, all of those things are certainly valuable information. So
IP config.
You'd do an IP config, you'd find the primary DNS server. You try to ping the primary DNS server, make sure everything's okay. If you can't get to the gateway, you ping something on the far side of the gateway. And, of course, in any environment, once you're there, you would know what would be on the far side of the gateway and what is not.
Right. I'm sorry for not in. That's grade school. I didn't say it.
No, that's fine. No, you're good. Let me think what else here. The group policy is supposed to be applied to a domain, to a machine. How can you tell if a group policy was actually applied or not if you're sitting physically at the machine?
Can I? Now you have me scared. I wonder, can I run net group? Can I run net local group command or net name? Can I run
run the net the suite of net commands, but that won't help you out in this particular case here.
Okay.
One of the things you can look up is you could use the GP update that allows you to take a peek at the group policy and make sure that everything's kind of applied.
You want me to run the GPO update from the local box, because that right there would tell me what is applied. It would also do the scavenging for me. Jeez. Okay. Wake up a bit. Speed up, too.
If you're just looking to view it, you could use GP result.
GP result
will actually list a couple of switches that you could use in there. One of them is the verbose switch. And if you do that, that kind of dumps it out to a much larger file. You can run through it and say, okay, well, you would already have this identified before you go out there. You would say, okay, well, I know for a fact, Eddie's telling me that I know group policy 1, 4, and 13 needs to be applied.
Yeah, not to mention I can also use GP force, and then I can also do GP wait or GP boot. let me see, there's also, GP Sync, jeez. What else? There's another one too. GP Target? No, wait a minute. That's not right. Yeah. GP Target. Okay, I'm not in front of my computer, so I'm not really completely 100%. Yes, GP Target. Okay. GP Target. Okay, I'm not in front of my computer, so I'm not really positive about GP Target, but not, at first, but now I am. What else did I use?
All right, that's good. How about WINS? What role does WINS play on a machine or in an environment?
You mean WINS as in the actual, like when I go in and configure WINS for its I do know.
That's okay. Yeah. So Windows Internet Naming Solution or system.
When DNS
came out.
Right.
So why would if Microsoft doesn't support or if Windows is not the default naming resolution anymore, Windows OS's. What are some of the reasons why a client might actually still have WINS enabled in an environment?
I mean, other than legacy boxes?
Let me say this. There are no right answers or wrong answers here. It's okay. What we're looking for really is an assessment. We've got several roles that are open, and we're just trying to figure out where best you might fit one way or the other. So don't beat yourself up over anything. These are not intended to be necessarily a right or wrong answer.
Oh man, I'm giving out wrong answers, but I'm waking up.
Oh no, you're
okay.
Fine. Matter of fact, this one you probably already know.
Yeah. Well, most of the legacy stuff, I'm going to need
okay.
And not to mention my NT stuff. 2000 no longer supported, but still utilized. What else? Okay. What else uses WINS? I even know how to go in and set it up. Jeez. Wake up.
That's okay. For the most part, the only reason that most people keep WINS around today is for legacy applications. Some applications are hard coded to use WINS because WINS utilizes the BIOS naming resolution,
right.
which is far and vastly different than the domain naming resolution, which DNS provides. So although they both give you name to IP address resolution, one does it in a fully qualified domain fashion, while the other does it in a BIOS fashion. And the difference between the two really comes down into a 15 character or less, or 16 character actually is a hidden two-digit decimal character on every net BIOS name. But basically, you got 15 characters that you can actually store inside net BIOS name, and that used to be a standard limitation of a lot of the Windows operating systems and computer systems.
Right.
But the
and
only
if
reason
I have to,
you're needed
and if
to
I have
there's
to do
database
boot,
applications,
right.
There's custom apps, there's custom scripts that are still written toward the net BIOS naming standard instead of the domain naming standard, and that's normally the only reason that you'd keep them around. And anymore, even though I'm not really sure where we're at now to know if we're going to have to keep WINS around, but if so, sometimes there's a couple of inherent issues with it. And that, again, you having a total knowledge of all this stuff is irrelevant. Just if you have the capacity to learn it is a whole other issue as well. We're looking for somebody who has the capacity to learn some of these things. We're not talking about highly, highly in-depth issues or items. We're looking at things that are more higher-level, smooth-over troubleshooting problems. And it's a troubleshooting technique and the logical way in which you approach these troubleshooting scenarios.
Correct.
I think that's about all I've got here. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah. How bad did I fail? Jeez.
Oh, actually, you know what? I do have one thing. I believe Michael, he corrects me on this last one, I believe that Michael has been telling you so far that the project is in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay.
As of late last night, we got a confirmation that it's going to be moved to Hanover, Maryland. So if you're selected for the project, would that be an issue for you?
If I'm given enough time to do a lot of changeover, no. In other words, if you
say
I was thinking, believe it or not, Indiana, so I was looking for places to stay in Indiana, and then you say it's going to be in Maryland, so that means, I had actually found daycare over there, so I got to look in Hanover now. That's not a problem.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I just have to, switch gears. But if you was to say, you start Monday, I'd say, wow, can I start, Wednesday? So after, because usually on Monday is when you get to call daycare, and then Tuesday you get your number, and Wednesday you drop off your kid.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. We will, we got about another dozen or so interviews to talk about or to conduct right now. We're going to talk about this, and Michael should have an answer back from us here relatively soon, probably before Wednesday or so of next week.
Okay, that's fine. Man, I cannot believe I failed that. Jeez. All right.
I want to thank you for your time, and I appreciate you dialing in.
Thank you, man. I do.
And I
appreciate
try to stay out of that 90-degree sweltering heat, too.
Believe it or not, when he called me, I was literally asleep. Hey, man. I mean, my alarm's going off, meeting, and and the phone's ringing. I'm like, what? Okay. Dial in. Hey, how you guys doing? Right. Oh, yeah. So I'm awake now.
it happens to the best of us. I tell you what, I'd be sleeping right now if I could, that's for sure.
All right, man,
I appreciate your time. And Mike will probably get back with you here in the next few days, one way or the other, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate it, man.